The Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast, we are taking this moment to call our shot. We are putting it out into the universe. Whatever it takes, the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast will be credentialed for this event. It doesn't matter to me who we have to call to get somebody's attention. We are going to be credentialed for this event. We're calling our shot. Here it goes. You ready?
And if anybody happened to have any connections, that would really help and benefit us. We'd appreciate it.
We will not turn it down.
All right. It's time for the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast.
So, Darren, we talk about the SEC dominance in a lot of different sports. And the SEC being the dominant conference. That's the second time I've used the word dominant.
Well, it's a correct word, so good usage no matter how many times.
No argument here.
Exactly.
How about dominance in softball? That's the third time.
That's well done. It's again, not inaccurate. So
the NCAA softball tournament is going to host 15 SEC teams counting Oklahoma and Texas. That's just absolutely phenomenal, Darren.
It really is. It's just beyond incredible that you could, I mean, basically every SEC school that fields a team will be in the tournament.
Except for one, I think.
There's only one team. Who is that? That would be Vanderbilt. And you know what? I'm okay with it because at least it's not because the team's not bad. They just don't have one. I can handle that.
I was getting ready to ask you if they did have one. You're telling me they don't even have one.
They don't even have one. You know, everybody else was adding softball. Vanderbilt doing what Vanderbilt does says, that's a really good idea. We'll add volleyball. Okay. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with volleyball, but I mean, everybody else was adding one thing. Vanderbilt did their own thing. We're kind of used to that.
I guess when you have the highest average GPA, what are the rest of us going to do?
And maybe they were trying to go for things that other SEC schools don't have. Hey, we can win this one. Maybe that's what they were trying to do.
Does Vanderbilt produce a lot of politicians?
Well, yes. I mean, probably more politicians than football players. But anyway.
Well, so much for my joke about their complex softball complex being under construction. I guess that it just doesn't exist.
It is. That's been part of the delay. It'll be ready in 2037. That's what.
Congratulations, to those schools that do have softball teams that did absolutely make it: Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M. And, of course, we're including OU and Texas.
That's awesome. That is so awesome to have that many teams in the tournament.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yep.
Speaking of phenoms, Paul Skeens made his major league debut with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well done. Let me give you a fantastic transition. Well done.
I'm rolling, man. I'm exchanging the Dr. Pepper Zero for a Mountain Diet Mountain Dew. Or they call it Mountain Dew Zero. Is everything zero now instead of diet?
I don't. That surely that's not. That's fake news, right? You're not doing that, are you?
Do you realize there are restaurants where you can order a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero? They have both of them.
And they're the same thing, are they not?
I think Coke Zero tastes a little different.
Does it really?
I mean, if you prefer your chemicals, go for the Diet Coke.
There you go. That's right.
What am I saying? They all have chemicals.
And you can go caffeine-free, chemical-free. You've got options.
So what you're saying is you want to drink soda, but you don't really want to drink soda.
Exactly. It's kind of like decaf coffee. I don't get it. I don't.
And listen to us. We're talking about soda. It's Coke, right? Everything is Coke. What kind of Coke do you want? I'll have a Dr. Pepper.
If you're in the South and you say the word pop, everybody turns and knows you didn't grow up in the South. That's what.
We'll talk about digressing. Let's go back to Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
7 strikeouts in his debut, threw 17 pitches in excess of 100 miles an hour, Darren.
That's incredible. And he topped out at 102. Is that correct? I think
something like that.
He hit that several times, which is unreal.
a huge debut in a very pressure-packed situation.
Yep.
That stadium was full, which is rare for the Pirates' home stadium. They've had so many struggles. You don't get that kind of crowd out typically. So there's a lot of excitement surrounding Paul Skenes and what he can possibly bring to the Pirates.
And like you said, he had a good day. You know, he showed an incredible fastball, showed his pitches were going well. But, you know, there were some first day nerves. I think you could pretty easily identify at times, but who wouldn't? I think if I'm a Pirates fan, I'm excited. You're talking about a guy stepping on the mound, looking like he belongs there, which is really what everybody kind of expected. Nobody's caught off guard by that. He did it. So very exciting for that franchise to have him as developing as their ace every day.
That laser accuracy wasn't always there, but it was his first game. A lot going on there. Everyone's there to see him. My concerns were that the Pirates wouldn't give him the run support he needed. They ended up scoring 10 runs. And the other concern was the bullpen, which that is still a concern. I'm very excited about Paul Skenes. I'm just hoping that the Pirates realize what a talent they have here. And if the guy doesn't get injured, he's going to break every Pirates pitching record.
Absolutely.
As long as they don't trade him in 2 years for prospects to the Yankees.
Well, to me, that might be my biggest concern. I might be more concerned about that than injury if I'm a Pirates fan. Just saying.
Thanks. I appreciate the positive encouragement.
Just saying. That's all.
Well, let's move over to men's college basketball, where a recent report came out that upwards of 60% of men's basketball players in D1 and D2 who entered the transfer portal have yet to find a home. Darren, this is something that you've talked about at length in other episodes, and it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big issue. You've got guys that come out of high schools where they were, you know, the best player in the school, the best player in the county, the best player, you know, whatever. And then they get to a D1 or a D2 program and they're not getting the playing time they're accustomed to. They decide now it's easy. You don't even have to have a reason. All you have to do is be academically eligible at this point, and you can just jump ship anytime you want. And the academics, like we talked about when that became a rule, That's the biggest concern, because now you have 60% of the people that jumped into the portal because they were unhappy with playing time. Could have been circumstances outside of their control. Could have been a coaching change, something like that. I mean, it's not just a playing time thing, but that's what we see more than just about anything else. And now they've made that jump, and now they're sitting there. They're not enrolled in school. They don't know where they're going to go to school in the summer or the fall. And that is the single biggest byproduct of playing ball on that level, is that you have the opportunity for the education. And now that's also in jeopardy just as much as their playing future. And that's heartbreaking to see. And to me, the single biggest concern of the portal, and something that has to be addressed.
Look, if you have the opportunity to play collegiate sports at any level, mm-hmm. it is a privilege. There is so much that goes along with that experience, and so much more than NIL or trying to get to the next level. There are experiences that athletes gain throughout those years that prepare them for the rest of their lives. Important experiences, how to deal with adversity. What happens if you go to college and you have to fight for that starting position? It's not all given to you. It's not handed to you. You have to claw and scrape and bust your tail in the weight room in the off season and do all the little intangibles to work through that, to learn to overcome the adversity. Mm-hmm. Those are skills that we all need in life, because we're all going to face adversity at different times in our lives. And Darren, it reminds me of something that Chuck Knoll, the famous head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, won 4 Super Bowls with him. He used to tell his players, this is not your life's work. We're preparing you for your life's work. So I'm hoping, Darren, these numbers begin to go down. And I hope that players, when they get hit with adversity, they learn to work through it, to process it, to take on those challenges rather than leaving for what they think are greener pastures or possibly more money or somebody getting to their head saying, if you want to play at the next level, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I hope next year, if we're still talking about this, if YouTube still lets us put our podcast on, yeah, on their channel, on their platform, I should say.
On their platform, yeah.
That the numbers are drastically decreased.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what anyone that watches it goes on and sees the heartbreaking stories year in year. That's exactly what you're looking for. You want to see something be different the next time, you know, we're talking about a portal window being open. Hopefully something is different.
Well, let's roll right ahead with more basketball news. This is exciting for those of us who live in Northwest Louisiana. The LSU Lady Tigers are coming to Bossier City. That's the home of the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast on December 8th to play against the Grambling State Tigers. Looking forward to that one, Darren.
Oh, very excited about it. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to be a part of it. And the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast, we are taking this moment to call our shot. We are putting it out into the universe. Whatever it takes, we've talked about SEC Media Days, the SEC Championship Games, but whatever it takes, the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast will be credentialed for this event. It doesn't matter to me who we have to call to get somebody's attention. We are going to be credentialed for this event. We're calling our shot. Here it goes. You ready?
I am fired up. I am right
there. We go. There we go.
You got the juices flowing. Let's do this. What brick wall do we need to run through?
That's right. That's right.
I'm right with you. I felt like you were kind of like Theoden and Lord of the Rings, and you're mustering the Rohirrim for this epic charge. Show me where are we charging? Let's go. We got to get these credentials, man.
That's right. We're going to do it. We're putting it out there. We're calling our shot now. We're going to get them.
And if anybody happened to have any connections, that would really help and benefit us. We'd appreciate it.
We will not turn it down. All
right. In more basketball news, the SEC men's basketball permanent opponents, or I should say SEC opponents, were updated, including permanent opponents, with the soon-to-be official inclusion of Oklahoma and Texas. So be sure to go to your school's website and you can get the list of who your school will be playing and who their permanent opponents will be. I checked out LSU, Darren, and it looks like we got Arkansas and A&M as our permanent opponents, along with a home and away this year with Ole Miss.
And Vanderbilt has the joy of Kentucky and Tennessee as permanent opponents. That sounds fun.
It's got a regional flavor.
Yeah, regional beating flavor, whatever. it is interesting to look at the future schedule and see, you know, two of the games that immediately kind of jumped out of me. Don't know who the permanents necessarily are yet for Texas and Oklahoma. But, you know, Oklahoma is going to have to go to Alabama to play, which will be a really fun and interesting game to watch and atmosphere. And then Kentucky will roll the Big Blue Nation into Texas and play. So that will be very interesting to watch as well, to see how that, you know, when Lexington moves into Austin, it will be interesting to watch. So those are just a couple of games that jumped out at me. It'll be fun for us to watch it and see as kind of historic moments, truthfully, to see those things happen for the first time.
And there's going to be a bunch of them next year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And don't get disappointed in Vanderbilt. I know it's a tough draw with Kentucky and Tennessee, but my money's on y'all when the robotics competition rolls around.
That's right. Robotics. What was that? Destroying bots or whatever. That thing that used to come on TBS. If we get whoever our permanent opponents are in that, should be terrified. That's
Speaking of technology, big news for those gamers out there. EA Sports College Football 25 is coming out, and the deluxe edition cover was released last week. Darren, are you excited about this?
I am, and I have been off the gaming train for a long time. I used to love to play sports games, you know, Sega Genesis football, even to getting into PlayStation, playing Tiger Woods Golf and EA Sports, College Football, Madden, NFL. You used to play all those, but that was a long, long time ago. I said PlayStation 2 and Sega, just to date how long ago it was. But even though I'm not really into it, I think I'm going to have to give it a shot. It's college football. You got to at least give it a try. I might have to learn how to work all the buttons, but I think I've got to give it a shot. So,
Darren, did you play Tecmo Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. You remember the original Tecmo Bowl that there were only, what, 8 guys on the field? Thought it was the greatest thing ever. That and what was the basketball game? Double Dribble. Do you remember playing that on Nintendo? Two great games.
I remember playing football games on the handheld video devices.
Little red dots.
The red dots. Remember
absolutely.
Those?
Absolutely. I think I've talked about this before. My first ever gaming system was a Texas Instrument that had a keyboard and a little slot that you put games in, and it would line up 11 dark dots and 11 lighter shade dots, and you would hit the space bar and they would all crack together and a whistle would blow, and then words would come across the screen to tell you what happened. that was my first ever football game, but I loved it. I played it all the time.
I'm excited about it, but yeah. I don't know if I'll play much of it. I never got a Commodore 64, but I did get an Atari 2600.
Nice.
And I had a big struggle to jump to Nintendo, because the Atari 2600, all you had was the joystick and one button. That was it. And then someone says, "Hey, is it Nintendo? Try." I'm like, "What are all of these buttons?" And it's even grown from that point. I know when I try to play a game like this with my son, he's going a million miles an hour. His fingers kind of like, you ever watch someone much younger than us text?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They can send out like 3 pages of text in 15 seconds while I'm still trying to find the R. Okay, there's the R, there's the T. Okay. But the graphics look so good. And this is something we need to ask Brandon about, who's been a guest on here, because Brandon loves these games and he's really good at them.
Wow.
But Darren, I look at the graphics, I'm like, I think I might be able to do this. It's kind of like going to the Home Depot where I don't have those skills.
No,
I go to the Home Depot and I buy all this stuff thinking I'm leaving here and this afternoon I'm going to build a house.
Exactly. I'm in my head. I've already got the foundation poured. I know how to, none of it ever happens because I don't know how to do it, but you're right. But it's amazing what you can find on sale that you might use at some point. So you go ahead and bring it home, right?
Of course. Look at all the money that you save.
Exactly.
You're going to need that at some point.
That's right. That's exactly right. And when you do, it's on a shelf in the garage. You're good to go.
I'm a firm believer in this because I have a container in my garage of mismatched screws from the year. Screws, bolts, nuts, all those. Washers. And sometimes my wife will make fun of me and say, "Why are you keeping all that?" And then the other day I needed one and I found it. It was in the bottom of that bucket, but I found it.
Now, I have a skill saw in my garage that has not been used since 2019. But if I need to use it, it'll be there.
You have a skill saw?
I do. I have a skill saw.
Dude, we could build something.
See, it's already starting.
All right. We interrupt this program too. Next week, we're going to come out in our Home Depot aprons, tool belts.
Show you our diagrams for our sports tiny house. That's what we're.
And once the Home Depot sees what we do with our tools, they will never, ever think about sponsoring this show.
Might not let us back in the store. You're not allowed.
you guys might want to contact Lowe's.
We hear they're looking for y'all.
Anyway, it's going to be an exciting release.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been anticipated for years. We'll keep tabs on developments of EA Sports College Football 25 release. But before we get there, Darren, let's go ahead and take a breath and listen to a Sports History Minute.
Beep, beep, beep.
1996, the LSU Tigers are in the College World Series. The championship game is the moment that LSU's second baseman, Warren Morris, etched his name into baseball history with a remarkable walk-off home run. With two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, LSU trailed Miami by a run. Morris faced Miami's closer, Robbie Morrison, who delivered a hard, low, outside curveball. Against all odds, Morris swung and connected, sending the ball deep to right field and over the wall. The dramatic home run secured a 9-8 victory for LSU, making it the only walk-off championship-winning home run in CWS history. Remarkably, it remains the sole two-out, ninth-inning walk-off home run in any collegiate or professional championship game. Truly a legendary moment in baseball.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Darren, you ready to talk about some baseball?
Oh, yeah.
A little John Fogerty style.
That's right. It's time for the coach to put us in. We are ready to play.
That's right. I'm not sure how mobile we would be. Maybe we...
I think I might pull off first baseman.
Is there some place they don't hit the ball? Some place I don't have to run?
Yeah, if I could... Come back, designated fielder. I'll play first base. I don't want to hit.
What do our current SEC baseball standings look like? Top 25, Darren. There we go. They're still singing Rocky Top in Knoxville.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. Vols hold on to that number one position. How about the Kentucky Wildcats moving up to number two? Arkansas right in the thick of things at 3. A&M going strong at 5. Georgia at 9. OU at 12. Mississippi State 16. South Carolina at 24. And the Texas Longhorns at 25. So a little bit of a change there as we get closer and closer to the postseason.
Yeah, it's Kentucky and Georgia, what they have done on the back half of the conference schedule to continue to climb has really been impressive. South Carolina has kind of been up and down, but they haven't really made a climb like a Georgia or a Kentucky has. They'll be 24, maybe even, I think they got that like 19 or 18 at one point, but then they'll drop out. Then they'll jump right back in at, 24, 23, something like that. Kentucky and Georgia have been just beyond incredible to see what they've done the last half of the season. And looking at the – we'll go ahead and move on to the actual standings within the conference. In the SEC East, even though Tennessee is number one in the top 25, Kentucky is actually in the top of the SEC East. And you can see everyone in the SEC East will make the tournament outside of Missouri. We'll make the SEC tournament outside of Missouri. And everyone, again, but Missouri, right now, according to Baseball America, are slated to make a regional. Vanderbilt in Florida should be very afraid. We talked about that last week, and it's kind of gotten worse for both of them. Vanderbilt ran straight into the Tennessee buzzsaw, was at least able to salvage the Sunday game for this series and at least didn't get swept. But still, both of those teams should be very concerned about just a regional placement at all making the tournament. Interesting that including not just Baseball America, there are several sources that have Kentucky right now slotted as being the number one seed over Tennessee. If the tournament seedings were set today, those eight national seeds that you will be the super regional host if they come out of the regional, that 1 through 8 seeds, Kentucky would be number one. So very interesting, and it also just shows you what Kentucky has done, because there was a time early in the season they weren't even the top 25, and now they're a regional. They're in a regional, slated for a regional, slated to be a host, and a lot of people have them picked to be the number one seed overall. So pretty interesting what they've done. And then in the West, we have Auburn as the team that it will not be going to the tournament right now. No, nothing's going to change that, truthfully. And Arkansas A&M will be regional host. Mississippi State and Alabama will be in the regional. But another little interesting side note for LSU fans, in a lot of different places, LSU is slated as the first four out. So they are still a good series this coming weekend, a good showing in the SEC tournament. They still have the shot of getting in a regional. And Ole Miss is not even in the first four or the next four out. They're just not being considered, even though they did win two out of three against A&M, which nobody saw coming this past weekend. But I found that pretty interesting for LSU that they still are a couple of good showings over this stretch, this final stretch of a series and a conference tournament of making their playing their way into a regional. So still within reason.
When there's a chance, there's life.
And then Oklahoma and Texas both are slated to be in regionals, and Oklahoma most likely being a regional host, according to Baseball America. So we want to mention them as well.
A lot of exciting days coming up as we move to the postseason in baseball.
It's a good time.
Closer and closer to Omaha.
It's right there. It's right there. You know, it's interesting, just very, very quick side note, how big of a deal Omaha has become over the last, what would you say, 5 to 8 years? I mean, it's always been a big deal, but it really has jumped some levels. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah.
Over the last 5 to 8 years?
Definitely.
So exciting. Very fun.
Definitely. Well, Darren, let's talk about some football. We've been looking forward to it. We were counting down the days every episode.
Yep.
As we get closer and closer to the college football season. What we wanted to do in this episode was to each list our five must-see SEC football games as of May.
As of over 3 months away, but still.
So as usual, when we compile such lists, Darren and I come up with way more than five, and we have to pare it down to five, which is hard to do because there are so many exciting matchups that we are looking forward to this year. So let's jump right into it. Darren, my first one is in September. In fact, I've got two in September. Do you have any in September as well?
I do not. Everything I have is October, November.
Well, I'll take the first two here. Okay. My first one is September 21st. We're going to Norman, Oklahoma to watch Tennessee come to town. It's the first SEC home game for Oklahoma. You talked a minute ago, Darren, about historical moments this year. It doesn't get much bigger than this one. Yep. A traditional SEC power in Tennessee is coming to Norman to face a storied program in the University of Oklahoma. Yep. I'm thrilled about this matchup and so looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be truly a historical moment to see that happen. And just with these two fan bases and with the way these teams have looked over the last few years, I mean, not necessarily perfect, but still the way these two teams have looked over the last couple of years, man, that's a good one. That's going to be a fun beginning to end, even just watching the crowds, fun game.
And Sooner fans, if you think Rocky Top is kind of a cool little jingle, you are going to hear it so many times in that game that you may never want to hear it again.
I guarantee that you will never want to hear it again.
My next must-see game to watch is the following week. And literally, Darren, looking at their schedule, there are games every single weekend absolutely. That can be on this list. But my next one is a huge matchup as Georgia goes to Tuscaloosa to face off Alabama. The two teams that have been the pinnacle somewhat of the SEC in terms of consistent winning. LSU's been up and in and out, in the conversation, but no one has been up there quite at the Georgia-Alabama level. Yep. And I'm thrilled about this. Kirby Smart's coming to town. We're going to see how Kalen DeBoer does in a huge matchup, because I think Georgia would probably be number one team coming to Tuscaloosa.
Absolutely. I don't see how they're not. So, yes, you're exactly right. To me, the real kind of unknown in that is what does a Kalen DeBoer Alabama look like? But still, very exciting game that would be fun to be at for sure.
And for those of you who've never been to Bryant-Denny Stadium for a game, you will hear Dixieland Delight sung multiple times.
It may play.
And that's one thing about all these SEC stadiums. They gravitate to a song or two that will be played several times.
You will be familiar with when you leave.
Let's move into October. I've got my third one is October 12th. You got one before that, Darren?
I do not.
Well, I'll just go ahead and take the 12th.
Perfect.
And that is the Red River rivalry. This game is not diminished at all with both schools moving to the SEC. I think it actually,
absolutely,
if it's possible to create even more excitement, I think we just found a way to do that.
Yep.
I this is a game I look forward to every single year. It's always a great game. These schools hate each other, which makes it even better. So that's my third must-see game. Darren, how about you? What's your first?
My first is going to be October 26th when Oklahoma comes rolling in to Ole Miss, headed to the Grove. To me, this game screams just a ton of potential because we don't really know what Oklahoma is going to look like, but there's some excitement about what Oklahoma is going to look like. Ole Miss, there is a ton of excitement. So we're kind of getting into that later phase when we see kind of how things are shaking out. Both teams hold true to form. This could be a very exciting game. And before it to be the first time that Oklahoma rolls into the Grove as an SEC school, I'm excited about that one. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch and would be an incredible game to be in attendance.
Oklahoma fans, I mean no offense at all. I'm sure your tailgating scene is great. It's outstanding. But you're about to learn something about tailgating from visiting the Grove. Ole Miss, I can only think of one school that does it better than Ole Miss. But that's going to be your first experience, really, of some serious SEC tailgating.
You see, seeing as many people outside of the stadium that aren't planning on going in are going to sit there in their tent and watch the game in addition to the 80,000 or whatever it is that'll be in the seat. That's going to get your attention, Oklahoma fans.
That's a great point, Darren. Great point. What's your second must-see game?
My second must-see game is going to be November. Let me make sure I've got my dates right. Yes, November 9th. And that is, I'm double dipping a little bit. I tried to avoid it, but let's assume that the Ole Miss Oklahoma game that we just talked about is what we think it's going to be. And if Ole Miss comes out of that with a win, as is possible, just as much as Oklahoma, then on November 9th, Georgia comes rolling into Ole Miss, most likely still the number one team in the country. But facing an Ole Miss that, I mean, just looking at how it's all played out in the offseason, an Ole Miss that people think are going to be loaded and ready to play, that's an exciting game.
No doubt about it. this whole schedule
is
every weekend. Love it. I love what the SEC has done here.
Absolutely.
My fourth must-see game is on the same date as your game, Darren, November 9th, and that's Alabama coming to LSU, Baton Rouge. And surely, oh goodness, this has to be a night game.
It's something is way off if it's not.
There's just something about Alabama and LSU when they get together, and I don't care who the head coach is for either team.
No.
This is going to be a slugfest, a lot of changes for both teams. I can't wait. I love the atmosphere when Alabama comes to town, to Baton Rouge, and these two square off.
And regardless of the changes for both teams, the one thing that you know for sure is especially people in the stands and people that were on those teams last year are going to remember that game. There were a lot of emotions in that game, a very, very tight game, a very highly contested game. That is, as soon as whatever their previous week game is over, that's going to be the only focus. It's going to be a spillover of the emotion from last year, just already streamlined straight into that week and what's coming. That's going to be an incredible game.
There's nothing like singing Call in Baton Rouge with over 100,000 of your closest friends.
As you register on the Richter scale.
It's a challenge now.
That's right. You got to do it again. Can't be a one-year thing, right?
How about your next must-see game, Darren?
Let's see. My next must-see game is going to be on the 16th of November. And again, thinking about last year, all the conversation about this year, when Tennessee heads to Athens, I think that's going to be a big, big game. It's going to be excitement. It's going to be a, the fast-paced offense against a strong defense. All of those things you look for in SEC conflict, but, turned up to 13 is what that game is going to be. So I think that's going to be a super exciting and fun game.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like a broken record. Can't wait.
Yep.
How about your next one?
Well, my next two are both on the same day, so I don't know how I would pull off attending both of those, but nonetheless, they are, and they're both rivalry games. For it to be I'll start with the kind of history setting one first is going to be Texas versus Texas A&M again. Mm-hmm. That is going to be so the build up to that, the excitement of that, it's in Austin. So A&M is, with the Thunder is going to come rolling into Austin with everything. They're going to do everything they can to just bring Kyle Field in and set it up right there in the middle of Austin for the entire week, for it to be the first time this game has been played in years upon years upon years. Absolutely incredible atmosphere, super fun, super exciting. And yet hopefully both teams are playing at a level where it's a game on the field as well, not just the atmosphere. So I'm very, very excited about that one. And then
before you move on from that one. So Saturday I was eating breakfast with some guys and we were talking about the SEC adding Oklahoma and Texas. And one of the guys in the group was a Texas A&M fan, very mild mannered guy. Never see him really get upset. Never see him raise his voice. But I was curious. I said, so what do you think about Texas coming into the SEC? And this is from an A&M fan, and his first response, and you could see the emotion and the anger in his voice, hear it in his voice and see it in his face. This was never supposed to happen. Texas was not supposed to be in the SEC.
And see, there you go. It's already starting. What you've said a couple of times, it's already starting. It's going to be so exciting. My second one is also a rivalry. And this is my second one on this day. And my fifth one is also a rivalry. Alabama-Auburn on November 30th. For it to be Kalen DeBoer's first Iron Bowl, thinking about what last year's Iron Bowl was and how crazy it was, the fact that it's going to be in Auburn, man, that is going to be I have a little concern from a football perspective, what's Auburn going to look like by that point in the season? But at the same time, it's the Iron Bowl. We had that exact same concern this past season, and look what that game turned out to be. So for it to be Kalen DeBoer as the Alabama head coach's first ever Iron Bowl, I think that's a significant game and going to be a great game to watch.
November 30th is loaded with rivalry games.
Absolutely.
And my fifth game is another one of those games, and that's the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. One of the best rivalry games year in and year out. I think gradually the rest of the country is realizing this, that this is a good, good game to watch every year.
Absolutely.
Throw the records out. Of course, when you had, Kiffin still at Ole Miss, we had some great personalities in this game.
Yeah. When it was the Pirate versus Kiffin, I mean, just you talking about adding a layer. It absolutely did.
I missed that. I missed that. Jeff Libby in his first year at Mississippi State. We'll kind of see how he does in this game, but this is always a great game to watch.
Yep. Absolutely. Great call.
And it's still only made, Darren, we're talking about this, and I'm ready to open presents.
I'm for it. Makes you kind of wring your hands a little bit. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
So those are the must-see games from Darren and I. You may have a totally different list depending on who you follow or who your team is. Let us know who, what are some must-see games in your opinion that we did not include that should be on this list for next year? We'd love to hear from you. So send us a comment, give us feedback. Remember to hit that like button, the subscribe button, so you're up to date. Every time new episodes drop, you will be notified immediately that those are out there. We typically put those out on Tuesdays, but sometimes depending on game schedules, might be a different day. And sometimes we even throw in some extras throughout the year. So make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. We appreciate you so much for coming along with us as we talk about sports, because we just love talking about sports. Just a couple of guys that love to talk about sports. And hey, if you're ever in Northwest Louisiana, hit us up and we can go have a cup of coffee and talk about sports.
Sports.
SEC style.
Absolutely.
Until next week, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.